This is the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray, episode 90.
Welcome to the Soulful PR Podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about whether it's worth buying lists of journalists' contact details. And if you haven't heard of that before, or you're not sure how it works, then don't worry, I'll explain all as we go. But before we get to the main part of the show, I just wanted to mention something exciting I've got coming up in September. Now, if you're listening in the future, that is September 2016. And starting on Monday, September the 19th, I'm going to be running a 10-day challenge, a PR challenge, where I'll be inviting you to do one thing every day that will help you to get high profile media coverage for your business or brand. So don't worry, I'll tell you exactly what you need to do each day. And there's something for you to do whether you are a complete newbie or you're an experienced pro. So don't worry about that either. So if you'd like to know more about that, I'll be giving you more information over the next week or so. But I've put a link in the show notes so that you can register your interest. And if you're interested in finding out more, then we can drop you a line and tell you how it's going to work. So with that, I think it's on with the main part of the show. So in this episode, I'm going to be talking about a question I get asked a lot, and that's, is it worth me buying lists of journalists' contact details? Now, if this concept is unfamiliar to you, I'll just quickly run you through how it works. But if you've got a press release you want to send out or a pitch you want to send out to lots of different newspapers and magazines, you can buy basically big databases of journalist contact details on all of the relevant newspapers, magazines, and radio and TV stations that you want to target. Now, this can cost you anything from a few hundred pounds. Obviously, it depends on how many you want and what kind of sectors and that kind of thing. But it can go into the tens of thousands. So obviously, if you're a big organisation and you've got a budget for that, then obviously that can be worthwhile. But I'm often asked this question by small business owners or solopreneurs who maybe don't have that kind of money to spend. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about what the pros and cons are. Now, just to give you a little bit more information, basically, if you Google journalist contact details or contact databases, you will get a whole list of different services that you could subscribe to. The ones that I'm most aware of are ResponseSource, which I mention a lot on the show, Cision, which I think might now be called Vulio, and I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, Gorkana, Meltwater, Agility, PR Max, Media HQ, which is in Ireland, I think. But if you just Google journalist contact databases, you will get loads and loads of different ideas for where you could go to get that information. So do I think it's a good idea? Well, the rather unsatisfactory answer to that is it really depends. For a small business owner or for a solopreneur or a consultant or coach, if you're basically working on your own, have a small team, or you've got a small group of contractors that you use, something like that. That's typical of the kind of people I tend to work with. I would say think really, really carefully about spending on journalist contact details. I'm going to run you through the reasons why. So first off, for me, PR is all about long-term relationships, not one-night stands. So if your idea of PR is just sending out a press release, just blasting a press release out to a load of journalists that you've never made any contact with, that you don't even know their names because it's just on a database and you don't really know where your press release or pitch is going, I think that you're probably not going to have much luck in the long term. You might get a little bit of pickup from your press release. You might be lucky. But if you're looking to build your media profile over time, if you're looking to be the kind of person that TV producers and radio producers have got your name in their contacts book, they ring you up regularly to come on and talk on the show, or you've got editors that will approach you and ask you to write stuff, which I think for many of us, that's our end game. That's where we want to be. Then I just think buying lists of journalist names and just blasting it out to people, it's just kind of like sales. I mean, it doesn't work for sales, you know, just buying a load of lists and sending it out to people. You might get a few pickups, you might be lucky, but actually, if you're really serious about attracting clients, then you need to invest the time building relationships. And for me, PR is no different. It really is about relationships and buying lists of people's email addresses and sending out the same thing to them. To me, is not building relationships. So my second reason why I would advise caution is that, and this is just anecdotal, but I've heard lots of people who use these services say to me that they're often out of date or inaccurate. And I don't mean like massively like inaccurate in terms of like they've got the wrong people on the wrong publication, that kind of thing. But they often just miss those little tidbits of information that can make all the difference, like a certain editor is on maternity leave or on sabbatical or is doing a secondment to another desk. And that really leads me to my third point as well, that it can encourage lazy PR. So, for example, a few weeks back, well, over the summer, I've done about 3 weeks worth of covering for an editor on The Guardian. And when I'm there, I love to, for my research purposes, I pick up the phone when it goes and I like to talk to people. Lots of editors don't, but I like to pick up the phone and hear what people have got to say. And the number of people who phoned up looking for my editor and asked for her by name, but didn't really understand the section that they were pitching to. Now, I think I've mentioned this on previous podcasts, but the education section, which is what I look after when I'm there, but this would be typical of education, probably on many publications. There are actually 3 or 4 people that deal with education, but different types of stories. So you've got the news reporters, you've got the section that I look after, Education Guardian, which is more longer features, and that just appears once a week. You also, until recently, had these education networks. There's also people on the opinion desk, so that's called Comment is Free, who might sometimes commission education opinion articles. So it's not as straightforward as just getting the name of the education editor, because the education editor may well be the wrong person that you need to speak to, because depending on whether you want to pitch an opinion article, a news story, an interview. I've just, for example, recorded a video opinion article for The Guardian, which is a completely different editor entirely. Then, you know, just kind of getting a name of an education editor, that may not be enough to get you in front of the right person or get your story in front of the right person. So for me, it encourages lazy PR and it encourages those kind of phone calls, which I got over the summer from people who clearly had never looked at the publication. They were trying to pitch an education story, but they didn't really know anything about how the paper covered education. And as a result, their ideas were not very good and got turned down. So I think using databases can encourage you to be lazy and just go the extra mile when it comes to finding out what editors are looking for. And you know, that's really what will make the difference between you being successful or not. The other thing is that it's just so easy to find journalist contact details. And so I guess sometimes I think to myself, why bother when you can find most journalists you want to connect with, you can find in a couple of clicks, basically. So most journalists are on Twitter. If you've got a publication in mind and you've got a specific section in mind or a specific type of article, it probably would take you no more than 2, 3, maybe 4 maximum clicks on Twitter to find the right person. Sometimes you get a toughie, you might have to go into LinkedIn, you might have to do a bit more Google searching, but generally you can find the name of the person you need to get your idea in front of. And sometimes I see people posting in my Facebook group, for example, what's the email format? Well, all you need to do is just find someone else who works for that publication. And usually you can find, for example, sales and commercial staff. They will put their emails online and you just copy the format and, you know, it's done and it can be done within a minute or two. And it's not a generic email address. It's not the education editor when you actually really do need the editor of a specific section of the education coverage. It really is the person that you need to get your idea in front of. And if you can do that in a few clicks, I personally am not sure why anybody would invest in thousands of pounds on a database. Now, I am talking about small business owners, entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, so people who don't have big teams. It may well be different for bigger outfits, but I think actually this stuff is so easy to find. You don't even have to do it yourself. You could train up a VA to do this kind of research for you if time is an issue. But you know, why would you pay for this when this information is out there? And something, a resource that I use, because sometimes you can find the right person, but sometimes the email format can be a bit trickier. And I've used Email Hunter. I think I've mentioned this in previous episodes to find people's email addresses. There's loads of shortcuts and things that you can use to try and find, which is great. And also I just ask people, you know, having a network, I am connected with loads of freelance journalists, and obviously now in my Soulful PR community, my current clients, my past clients, between us, everybody's always exchanging contacts. And, you know, that can actually be quicker and easier than anything else you might do. And the last reason I'm a little bit skeptical about buying lists of journalist contact details is, and again, I think it comes back to this lazy PR theme, but actually the best way to make those long-lasting connections is to get out and meet journalists in person. Now, I have talked about this in previous episodes, but getting to events where journalists are speaking, getting to coming along to, you know, my Soulful PR sessions. If you're based in or near London, I run an event every single month where I have a journalist from a national publication or radio and TV station talking about what they're looking for. Getting yourself to those events, speaking to journalists like face to face, looking them in the eye and just having a conversation with them. That is far more powerful than just blasting off an email to a list of people that you don't know and you've got no connection to. So again, I think relying on contact databases can make you a little bit lazy when it comes to your PR. And if you want some tips on how to get face-to-face meetings with journalists, episode 60 is how to get a meeting with a journalist, and episode 62 is how to make the most of a meeting with a journalist. So you might find those to be quite useful resources for you. So I guess from what I've said in this episode, it probably sounds like I'm not too keen, or I would discourage people generally from subscribing to media databases. And I guess I do have to say that if you work for a big organisation or you've got big budgets, then it can save you time. And what you can do is obviously cross-reference. You can look up the email address and then maybe just double check that it's the right person, or, you know, if it says education editor, is it the reporter, or is it the person who looks after the features, or is it the person who looks after the video opinions, or whatever it might be, just to make sure it really is the right person. So I wouldn't just use a list of journalist contacts without checking them back. Basically, I'd want to double check them all. So if you've got a big budget and you're short on time, or you work in a big organisation, then yes, this can be absolutely great. But I think as a small business owner or an entrepreneur, solopreneur, the kind of people I generally work with, I don't think it's necessary to do this. I would, if I had the budget, I would invest in media inquiry services, which I'm going to be talking about more in future shows. And that's where basically you pay to get alerts from journalists who are looking for stories. I think that's worth investing in. But personally, I'm not convinced about the value of small business owners subscribing to contact databases, because I think it just encourages lazy PR. So I'd love to know what you think about it and what your experiences are. Perhaps you've had good experiences with journalist databases, and I'd love to hear from you if you have. So as ever, you can email me at janet@janetmurray.co.uk, or you can tweet me at @Jan_Murray. And of course, I'd love to see you in my Facebook community. You've been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, why not come over and join my Facebook community? It's simply the Soulful PR Facebook community, and I'd love to see you there.
You've just been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more free content that will help you get media coverage for your business.